You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Tuesday, a nice, cold night, rainy, and I even have Matt Moreno in bundled like a snowman or something.
Like we don't live in Tucson?
Like, yes. I'm a little bit shocked. You never dress like this. You California kids don't know any better. Tom, how are you?
Not as cold as Matt.
No, apparently it's cold outside. Hey, good show yesterday, Tom. I'm not sure we'll be able to duplicate it here, but I brought in my favorite guy, Matt Moreno. Buttering up because I'm expecting some buttering up later in the show with some of my questions. But you must have had a busy day today, Matt. A lot of press conferences, baseball, softball, men's basketball. Anything else?
Badminton and ping pong. And
they need to win those. They need to win trophies, I guess. Ping pong, I didn't know they have it. I got to maybe try out for that team again. Hey, so let's start at the beginning and we'll start with the men's basketball program because there was something before that. Women's. Was it women? Who did before men?
It went softball, men's basketball, and then baseball.
Oh, okay. So let's start with the basketball team.
Okay.
I listened to the first 10, 15 minutes of it, and I had to go to a meeting, so I didn't listen to the rest. But I saw that he's thinking about changing his lineup, and then again changing his mind on that lineup.
Yeah, it was very similar to the last time he brought it up, where he said, yeah, I think we're at that point. And then he said, well, maybe not. It was kind of, he walked it back a little bit and said, well, we're not at that point yet, and
That point came like November 30th when things should have been changed.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe December. When they lose to St. John's? That time.
December.
So that's when this is when it all started because they didn't play anybody until then.
Right.
And then we saw when they started playing somebody that how good they are or how good they're not. Am I wrong?
No. I think we kind of knew that all along, though, that you couldn't really put too much stock into
the schedule,
the first portion of the schedule, right. Until they played Baylor and Gonzaga and right. St. John's, and mm-hmm. You saw what happened.
But now you play UCLA at home, you play Oregon State on the road. Well, Oregon State beat Oregon, so that's kind of a validation, if there is a validation. I didn't see very many hard questions, one, and I saw long answers, two.
Maybe the longest answers I've ever seen.
Like five, 10 minutes.
Ever heard. Yeah.
He was talking, what was he talking about?
The pace of play.
And yeah. See, the funny thing about it, in that whole thing
I
is,
thought of you, Steve.
When I heard that and I was listening to it, I was thinking, they talk about pace of play, but they don't do it. You can say, this is almost, I don't want to get political, but you know where I'm going. Just because you say it, doesn't mean it's happening. So you thought it'd be for that reason?
Because it was your conversation that you've been wanting to have all season long.
That he wants to go fast?
Yeah, but his whole issue is that, and I think it was him kind of going back to his original point that he wanted to make, and he did make when you asked him the question early in the season, they can't do it if other teams are preventing it, if they're careless, if they're not doing things on their own end outside of just trying to go fast. And his point was that UCLA, like Oregon State, like Baylor, really slowed them down. And it took them out of their game, and they don't really know how to work through that at this point.
At this point, for the last 10 years. In all honesty, okay, so guess what you do? And we've said this all along. Guess how you play Arizona? Zone and slow them down.
Yep.
But let's assume you try to slow me down, but I get out to a 10-2 lead. You can't slow it down anymore. At least I would think you couldn't. You could try to, but you have to catch up on points.
Well, it's like it's for a Sean Miller-esque kind of
answer.
Answer is it's kind of like football. If you get behind, but you're not going to continue running the ball. You're going to have to pass it. You're going to have to go to the air.
Sure.
It's a similar type of situation where if you're behind by a lot of points, you're not going to try and chip away, but it's not going to work. You have to go and you get taken out of your own game, which is his point was when they played USC, it felt more normal because USC wants to do the same thing.
Correct.
So it kind of played into. You know, they had their own little runs, and it felt more normal to him to kind of use his words. But he said UCLA was, no, we're going to run it down. We're going to run the clock down. We're going to take our time. We're going to go slow. And I think the added element that we saw with the UCLA game, we've seen it other times this year. Everyone's kind of talked about toughness.
Yeah.
You brought it up last year when they played ASU, is UCLA was a lot more physical, and they were making it a point to, we're going to make life difficult on everybody. We're going to be more physical. And again, that's the other key element to beating Arizona, is you play zone, you slow it down, and now you play physical, and you really try and make them step up to your toughness. And so far, we haven't really seen Arizona do that.
Well, you can't make non-tough guys be tough. They're just not that team.
That was kind of an underlying theme of his kind of whole 7-8 minute kind
so
of talk.
So whose fault is that?
He didn't say, but I know a lot of people on Twitter told me who they think.
Ooh, that would be?
Sean Miller.
Sean Miller, because he hasn't recruited those guys. Anthony and I talked about this, I guess, on one of our last conversations, and I agreed. I agreed with him. I didn't agree with him at the time, but yeah, these guys are basketball players. They're not tough basketball players. They're usually guys who outscore you.
Yeah.
And beat you happily by 20. This team is hardly beating you happily by 20.
Yeah.
It's had a chance to, but it never had finished the job.
If you're Omaha, then they beat you by 20.
Oh, yeah, of course, because you don't have the horses to run with them. But now, here we are. It's funny, I listened to, tell me, who's after him, in tonight's press conference, the player.
Irely.
So he was talking about, okay, they're still young, still early, but they're running out of time, blah, blah, blah. It's 4 months into the season. Other schools aren't dealing with for the young kids. They have young kids. Everybody has young kids. Some people are doing okay with the young kids.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
I've covered this team for 30 years now. Mike Bibby and some of those guys did pretty well. They were young dudes. They won a title with a young dude.
Yeah. I mean, you can't rely on the youth thing anymore.
I asked that question 3 weeks ago, purposely for that answer.
Yeah.
Now was the time. Okay, so March comes. They're still young kids. Shut up. Even, and I'm not saying Sean, because he hasn't used that excuse, I don't think, but it's the fans who say, oh, they're still learning. These guys have played this game all their lives. And maybe I'm just being too far on the other side. All their lives, they know how to play. They played together for a number of games and years. If you don't get it by now, what's that song? If you don't know me by now, you'll never, never know me.
That is exactly it. That is exactly what it is. And yes, that is the song too.
But you understand.
On all fronts. Absolutely. How can you not know what you have by now? We're this far into the season. My response, I'm listening to you guys, Steve, and I had to shut my mic off because
you're laughing.
I'm laughing, and along with the phrase, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I don't believe a word of that.
Right. I think it's the answer that sounds the best, but it's not that it's not believable.
It's because the coach can't come out and say, I don't really like this team.
But you know what? Just a few months ago, you'd think that he would, because this was kind of, it was built. We talked about this.
That's why I said, I think that's why you're seeing the frustrations right now, is because he wasn't expecting this team to feel that way about this team. I think he went into it going, oh, I like this group.
Because he built it perfectly. Yeah. Or at least he assumed this in November. All the pieces, you know, a good point guard. You got a guy athletic and green. You had some leadership, or you had some older guys. In fact, I already talked about leadership. There is no leadership. No. That was a weird answer, but it was the correct answer, wasn't it?
Yeah. When everyone is a leader, you don't have
You leaders. Have a leader. No. When he said it, I'm thinking, there's part of the problem. And we talked to Corey Williams yesterday and to Bruce, and what was the pecking order? I mean, that was the thing I came away with yesterday's discussion. There is no pecking order.
Yeah. Which is why, Steve, to go back to you're saying it's not unbelievable. To me, it is. As a fan, it's unbelievable.
Right.
How can you listen to that and do it with a straight face? Because you sold us that this could be the best team you've had, but none of it has come to fruition.
I don't know. Did he say that or did we say this?
I think we said that.
Yeah, we always say this. I mean, I don't know if we were sold the pile of goods that we believed, or we do this out of stupidity, and we as a media, because we echo what they say and blah, blah, blah. But maybe we missed it. You see this.
Well, and you asked him about, is this the best three-point shooting team you've ever had? And he
said yes.
Yes, but I also, in his face, I thought I saw, I really don't want to answer this, but I don't have a way out of this one. I just have to say yes.
Right.
And so I don't think he was, you know, going out there and, you know, trumpeting about this team and how great it's going to be.
True. But I think it was obvious, given what we've seen in the last 11 years and what he's had from the perimeter, this is no question the best shooting team, or should be the best shooting team, because the previous ones, you know, sometimes I am the best looking guy in a room, That would mean that those dudes aren't very good looking. But that's by default. This team might be the best shooting team by default, but this is what they're showing. Because they show it every now and again. Maybe a one player or two players. But who? Tell me a good shooting team in the past.
They've struggled to have good shooting players to even find a guy who can be a consistent shooter.
Hey, the defense rests, Your Honor. Exactly. We got to take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm fired up drinking my hot tea.
I can't believe how fired up you are, Steve. This is good.
Well, I'm going to win an award for this show. Here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and in with me today is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats and my good boy Tom Callahan on the other side. So let me say this. You know, and I know we've been with Sean since he's been here. I think he's almost honest to a fault because, you know, after games he kind of says things. He kind of sometimes answers the question, sometimes, but when he does, and you know he means it, he's very honest. Correct? Am I wrong?
No, that's right.
So If he were to ask you, like, what's really going on with this team, what would he say?
In what forum?
In the Wish I Could Tell You forum.
Like I said, I don't think he likes this team anymore. I think he reached a point where he says, this is not the group I wanted. I'm kind of stuck with them, which is why he continues to come back. And if you listen to what he says, he's kind of bashing his own team in a lot of ways.
In what sense?
Just the things he says about, you know, the team and their deficiencies. And again, everybody comes back to, and they're right. I mean, he is the coach.
Well, it comes back at the end of the day. If you're the parent of kids that are malcontents, guess what? It's on you. Yeah. I don't know if this is fixable. I mean, how do you lose?
It's February 11th.
It's late.
Yeah.
No. If you don't know me by now, you're never going to know me.
My thing is, if there are people who are holding out hope and everyone can make a run in March,
sure.
I understand it.
Totally. And it's happened.
What have you seen up to this point that says this team is capable of doing that?
Right. I can already see it now. If they do, Sweet 16, I told you this was going
to
happen.
I think they no doubt have the talent to get there. They might have the talent to get to a Final Four in this type of season where everybody's losing and there's not a real favorite.
True.
They might have that type of talent, but to put it all together and to expect to put it all together, they just haven't shown any of that to me this season to warrant thinking that's going to happen.
Should they have a lot on paper? I know we don't win games on paper or see games on paper. I know people try to do that. Should they have lost to UCLA?
No.
Not even close?
No. UCLA is terrible. That is a shell of the UCLA everyone's come to know.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that roster and it's not impressive.
Should they have lost to ASU?
No. It's the same thing. Remember, we talked about it when they played here in Tucson.
Mm-hmm. They won by 40,000 points.
I came away saying, oh, that was a nice win for Arizona. That's good. They get off to a good start in Pac-12 play.
Right.
But man, is ASU garbage.
Oh,
they look completely terrible.
Yes, I remember that conversation. Right. That may have been the worst ASU team in a while because they couldn't hit shots.
Yeah, and they blew a 22-point lead to that team.
Yeah. And then they looked like Arizona State Saturday.
Yeah.
I didn't go for a reason. I had something to do, but I knew that something like this was up because it just didn't feel right to me. This is my fourth game I've missed in 30 years, and I'm thinking, I don't care for whatever reason.
Well, and Sean Miller was talking about this game right after the USC game. He was talking about mm-hmm. UCLA, and mm-hmm. he kind of made it a point that, hey, they're going to be tough, and they're going to play this style that we're not used to. And whenever he does that, he did that before the Baylor game too. And again, maybe that's your—
It was almost an apology.
And that's your he's too truthful to a fault sometimes, where it's just he's letting it all out there. Hey, this is what— Because that, to me, is him saying, we're probably going to lose this game. I'm just letting you guys know now.
Now that you refresh my memory, you're right, because he said that in Baylor. He says, you know, there's a good chance—he didn't say this, but you got that sense that there's a good chance we're going to lose this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I came away from that press conference thinking. It felt very similar after the USC game.
It makes clear he did talk about that game right away. The thing about it, guess who they play Thursday? Cal, right?
Yeah.
Guess how they play?
Same way as UCLA.
Isn't that a disaster waiting to happen?
It is.
If I were everybody on the rest of on the roster or the schedule, I'm milking the clock for 23 seconds and putting it up and just milking the clock and playing zone.
Yeah, you have no— unless your talent level is the same, you have no reason to do what you normally do. You go away from what you normally do if it means you're going to make them look like they did Saturday night.
Sure.
You know what, though, Steve and Matt, I was thinking about this, too. You guys were talking about the Butler game, right? So he does set you up a little bit, but then Butler comes out and has a horrible game. Arizona also has a horrible game. And the point that we've made before...
The Butler game? Sorry?
Baylor.
Baylor game.
Or Baylor. Butler, oh my goodness. I lived in Indiana for a little while. The Baylor game, yes. So, but we talk about how... When's the last time these guys beat a team they weren't supposed to?
No, we talk about that a lot.
Well, even beyond that, winnable games that they should win. Like, if the other team doesn't show up, you've got to be able to beat that other team when
and
they don't show up.
And beat them convincingly.
And could have. But yeah. Didn't.
No, no, we talked about that. I think someone sent an email to me or a text to me, Texas A&M maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I don't even remember that game, to tell you the truth, how good Texas A&M was. But that's what this has come to.
The biggest thing that tells you about this team is we can look over the schedule. You can look over what's happened. Mm-hmm. Tell me a good win this season for Arizona.
I
don't have one.
Yeah, and I know coaches will always say, well, you know, this team from whatever conference is going to win their league, so that's why they're on the schedule. That's a good win.
Sure.
But if you look at the schedule, there's not...
Illinois, maybe.
Yeah.
Illinois, maybe.
Okay, I'll buy that.
So let me tell you something. How messed up are these ratings where they're still 10th in the conference or in the country?
And apparently it doesn't matter because they weren't included in the top 16 in this early
bracket. Oh, right.
Which is supposed to be exactly how the committee is thinking. It's not anybody's projections. Right. It's the committee who's deciding how this thing is going to look in both accounts. Mm-hmm. They're making up the net rankings as well, which Arizona was up to like 7th at one point. Now I think they're 10th. And Arizona's been in that range the entire year. And it's the same people making the same thing, and they're not included in the top 16. So,
right.
Can you guys please explain the net rankings to me as a fan? I just don't understand. I don't understand how it's done.
If it's like the RPI, who knows?
Yeah, it's just another metric that apparently doesn't matter.
Which with the RPI didn't matter either. It's just very strange. I don't know if there's any quick fixes. My whole thing, too, is, and Tom and I were talking about this off the air yesterday, how does a team, a group of guys and shooters, all go bad? Because it doesn't happen, but it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening a lot. To me, they look like a team that's looking for something that they just can't find. Or they almost, against UCLA, it almost looks like they didn't really care. They weren't even really looking for that thing to kind of get them back into the game. They were kind of just going through the motions and playing out the game. And that's, again, it's just a bad time.
The question I would have asked Sean yesterday had I gone, and I think I would have asked it because I know a lot of people don't ask him the tough questions, and maybe I'm guilty of it too, but how frustrating is it for him to deal with this? And knowing that there may not be a solution because it's all mental, not physical. Or at least we can assume that's not physical because we're assuming that they can play. But now if you can play, it must be somewhere else. The issue is in the head or something. I don't know.
I guess.
How frustrated do you think he is?
Oh, I think very frustrated. I think you could almost sense the point when that frustration started, and it was kind of right around when they went on that Oregon trip, and it was you could just tell it's a different frustration that I don't think he was anticipating having, which is probably making it even more frustrating.
Right. And he's the guy that needs to find solutions right away. Hey, let's take a quick call. Scott, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys.
How are you? What are your thoughts?
It's just been a rocky season this year. A lot of downs and not as many ups as it can hope for. The ASU game with the dropping the 22-point lead and then losing at the end, and then the USC game being up 20, then coming down with only a 3-point lead with 3.7 seconds left with Nico at the line, and then the UCLA game shooting 25%. It just kind of tough to see the team go through this, and especially again the preseason we're like undefeated champs, and this is the year, and Nico Mannion's better than Bibby, and we all have all the pieces, and then it seems like every year once the season starts there's issues, and then it's all these excuses on why it's not working.
Did you go to the game on Saturday?
I went to the USC game.
To the USC game. I was going to ask you about the crowd, Moreno. Not a good one? A very disappointing one?
It was strange. There's probably been other games where it feels like this, but I don't remember a crowd leaving that early from a loss. and being that kind of disgusted, you could just tell that they were just not happy. And I don't remember that happening that early in a game where it was everybody. There was, it emptied out very, very early on in that end of the game where there was still 5 or 6 minutes left and people were just over it.
This would never, it doesn't happen. There's some weird things that are happening in McHale. It's just kind of strange, unexplainable.
I think one of the things is I think the U of A fans are kind of starting to get conditioned to getting let down with the team and expectations not being hit, and they're getting used to it. And then on the plus side, though, with the women's program, it's amazing. They're having their all-time best season and beat the first top 10 team on the road ever, and it's exciting to see what they're doing. I'm excited to go to the game on Friday against Washington. And I think Adia is going to make a deep run. And to be honest, the women's team is going to make a deeper run in the tournament than the men's team.
Yeah, no, I think that's an easy prediction, but I agree with you, Scott. Given what we've seen, I mean, they've been fantastic. We'll start talking a little about them on the other side because we can only talk so much about the men's basketball team. Scott, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks for listening as usual. I don't think he has an answer. Like you say, is there a chance that they might pick it up in March and go crazy? And well, didn't we deal with this 2 years ago when the Aitons and the Alkins and the Triers had this lull, and then they found it, and then they had this lull, went to the Pac-12 tournament, looked dominant. 4 days later, they're getting their butt kicked against Buffalo. Because didn't they give you hope after Vegas?
Oh, yeah. And that's, I could see this team doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden, boom, shut it off.
Yep.
Season's over. Let's talk about the NBA. Because that's what that team did.
Yeah.
You know,
he's kind of hinted at some of that stuff going on.
He has?
A little bit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. A couple press conferences ago.
Oh, okay. I must have missed. Well, I mean, he is the one that announced that Mannion was leaving.
Well, the thing he talked about was players who want to have these, they have these goals.
Yes.
And they don't realize that the way to get there is you just win games.
Right. No, I get it. And that could be part of it. I mean, we know how kids are today. Hell, adults, it's all immediate satisfaction and look at me and hey, I don't need this because guess what? In two months, I'll be gone. Cashing some checks. We'll see. Okay. We'll take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Come back after this and talk more hoops. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And with me is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats and my guy, Tom Callahan. So let's go and talk about something that's easier to talk about.
Sure.
Women's the softball team. Pretty good. I watched a little of the press conference with the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting matchup coming up this week against Oklahoma.
Yeah. They talked about
I think
that.
All the attention is going to be on that. They have a few games to play, but off to a good start so far. And I think this will be the first weekend where you see, okay, let's see what this team is really made of. But same story as last year, power throughout the lineup, some dominant pitching and good place to start.
U of A?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they a good chance. It's funny. I talked to him. I guess you were there when I talked to Kendria. In fact, I had him on the show that day. We talked at the ballpark. The expectations are always there. I think they're always there when they're really there, like this year. Last year was there. 2 or 3 years ago when they lost to Baylor in that upsetting game, whatever it was. And now they're back to being very good.
Yeah.
It's always tough to play with those type of expectations. And Arizona basketball is like that, has been forever. But like last year, the expectations weren't there. This year, the expectations in a scale of 1 to 10 were what? Basketball, men's.
Eight? Yeah.
In all honesty, now they're about 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think most people have kind of lost some of that faith that they had.
Right. So, okay, now softball, wouldn't they say 9 or 10?
Yeah. Oh, it's up there.
And Kendrea has been pretty good with those expectations.
You look at that team and you say that's an elite team. Mm-hmm. That's what an elite team looks like in any sport at any level.
Because they're loaded at every position.
Yeah.
And they have backups for some of those positions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how was he today?
Good. I think he's, again, trying to downplay the meaningfulness of this game against Oklahoma because they have other games. He's doing what coaches do. But
Sure. And what does it matter in January?
That was kind of his point, too, was, you know, we're just going to play how we normally play, right, and we'll see where we're at the end of the weekend.
Right. When you get to the nitty-gritty games like the UCLA's later in the April and May type of situation, that's when you have to worry about what's happening. Because it took Arizona last year that long to get situated.
Yeah.
They had to beat UCLA. Remember they beat UCLA here?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the game or the weekend that's kind of defined who they were.
Yeah. I mean, it's like every other sport where you just want to be playing right at the right time.
Correct.
That's what happened last year, and they got hot. And I think they know this is just kind of a building block. It's a good chance to see where you're at, but it's just a building block to where you'll eventually be.
It means nothing right now. And you're right. Just gauge how good you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was there? Martinez was there?
Yeah, Marlia Martinez and Alyssa Denham.
Yeah, Denham. Yeah. She had a couple pretty good games, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they have the Oklahoma transfer who's doing well, who did well. No, it should be fun. And then next week they play the Olympic team.
Yeah.
You going to that?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
I guess you had to have clearance.
Yeah, I think once I saw that, I was like, I don't know if I need to.
Well, you're kind of a shady guy. I'd rather you get clearance.
Stay home. You want me to get clearance?
Well, will you
it was,
get...
It was a rule made for me.
Yes, yeah, exactly. We've got a stalker here. he's wearing a ski mask. it's hard not to like the softball team. Affable, available, and can talk about pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The teams like that are more open. I mean, the baseball players as well today were...
I was going to say, we can move to that too. So how was that? I need to have Johnson on. I haven't had him on.
Yeah. I mean, he's very similar in just his demeanor and how he approaches things.
To Kendrea?
Yeah. Just in terms of we're worried about this game as opposed to the entire season. He's never been about, you know, looking at an entire season, looking at an entire weekend. He's all about what's the first game we have coming up. We'll worry about that one and then we'll move on. But I think the players are very forthright. They understand that, you know, they have a little bit more pressure on them now just because they are ranked and they are thought of as being kind of one of the upper tier teams in the Pac-12. And it's different than last year. And I think they also understand that they have that motivation of they want to get to the tournament. They haven't been there, you know, in a couple of years. And last year they thought they were going to get in, had a really good run at the end and just couldn't pull it off. And so I think there's a determination. I think there's a good feeling about this group from within the team that, you know, they have the right pieces to make some kind of noise, and I think they're eager to see what they can do.
Yeah, no. I agree. They're ranked what, in the top 20?
Yeah, I think number 22.
ASU's number one?
Yes.
Yes.
There was a lot more ASU talk than I think Jay Johnson and the players.
Oh, there was like, questions about that?
Yeah, because it's hard to ignore that, you know, they're the team that they are, and Arizona's they're right down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a team that's going to be, you know, one of the top teams in the country this year. They have a ton of talent, and if Arizona wants to reach its goals this season, it's going to have to beat ASU.
Well, should be fun. I mean, now is the time after men's basketball finishes. Well, that's it. And then spring football starts.
Yep.
And then it stops.
March 2nd.
What do you think is going to happen with that for spring?
What do you mean? In what way?
I don't know. I mean, what are we going to learn from that?
Not a whole lot.
What can you? You did recruiting, so they signed 6 guys over this December or early period?
They signed 12 in the early period, 6 in the regular signing period.
And they finished at what?
Seven in the regular signing period.
So what did they finish overall?
They actually moved up. So we have them...
60-something?
No, they're like 59, I think.
Holy moly.
It might even be 56.
Well, how did that happen?
Just the addition of more recruits and how it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate the class. I think there's a lot of, I guess reaches is the right word, where a lot of other programs didn't see what apparently Arizona saw in the recruits. And it could be one of those situations where it works out very well for them and they hit on a lot of guys. But if they don't, they're going to be left in a bad spot. And that's kind of where they've been. And they need to, they took a chance on quite a few guys and some guys that only picked up football in the last year or so. Two of their biggest defensive prospects that they signed in the regular signing period this month were guys that were basketball players. And
this athletic guys?
Yeah.
So you've been here 10 years? How long?
A little over 8.
Yeah, a little over 8. So let me ask you, what is this class rank in the 8 times you've done this?
It's probably, without looking, it's probably 7 or 8.
Of the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the previous one was?
I'd have to think. The issue is that I'd have to think about it, and there's probably a few where I can point to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so it's probably gotten to where you're right now. Gotten to the program where it is right now.
Yeah. There's been a lot more classes that you would say that's not a good recruiting class. Right. There have been, you would say that more than you would say, oh, that's a good recruiting class. They just haven't had that happen very often.
That's, he's got a lot of work to do. We all know that.
Yeah.
He's on the snide, as they say.
Yeah, I think the thing that I think is a little bit promising is I think they're starting to figure it out a little bit. Just in how active they were from the time they could be after the dead period. So after the early signing period, there's a dead period. They can't do much. They can just watch film, and you can contact people through text and stuff. But they were active. They went all over the place. They went to Canada. They went, you know, everywhere that they could. That's promising because I think the key for Arizona, it's going to be development, but it's also going to be
visibility.
And one of the things I brought up on our message board yesterday, there's people were like, hey, can you wrap up the class for me and kind of give me an overview of what you think? And one of the things I said about Arizona basketball, yes, it's a brand. Yes, it's Sean Miller. One of the things that that comes up in recruiting that recruits talk about is their coaches are relentless. It's almost to the point where they get annoyed at times.
Who Arizona's are?
The recruits.
Okay.
That the coaches are calling them so
much.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard that from an Arizona football recruit where a recruit says, oh, they're calling me too much.
Yeah.
We've heard other things. Lathan Ransom went on the record and said, I just stopped hearing from them. One of the top recruits from Tucson.
Right. Do you think they just give up because they knew they were not going to get him?
Maybe in that particular case, but I've never heard it from really any of the recruits that I've covered. That Arizona, and you hear it from basketball all the time, where it's like, hey, they're reaching out more than anybody else. And it's just, you have to be in their ear because, like it or not, these kids want to be wanted and they want to be kind of wooed and courted to play for a school. And so I think that element's been missing. And I think it feels like it's starting to maybe transition to that a little bit because I think in Arizona, you have to be relentless as a recruiter.
Oh, you have to be. Yeah, of course, because you know you're already up against it. Because you're not USC, you're not Stanford, you're not Washington.
Which
or Oregon.
USC just hired Dante Williams.
Oh, did they?
Yep.
Well, he was square?
At
was
Oregon.
Oregon. Well, so
it might be their key to getting back to what they want to be, which would be interesting because he had lined up some pretty prominent players
when he was
to come
here?
To Arizona.
Yeah, and then he went to Nebraska, right?
Yeah, he went to Nebraska, and then they said, oh, I don't think Arizona's the place for me anymore. Right. So there was going to be some talented players at Arizona, and he was really making
What makes him good?
Personality, I think just a familiarity with kind of where they're from.
The kids are.
And who they are and what things they like. And I think that really works for him. And
where did he start?
Maybe Washington.
So that's where he's
an LA guy.
But he played somewhere.
Yeah.
Where did he play?
I'm trying to remember.
So because you have to have that inside. Well, you don't have to, but you have to
He has California ties,
Which is good, which is huge.
It's a huge recruiting base for anybody.
And UCLA, USC, I guess, right? You said USC needs him desperately.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think it could be a key to getting them back to getting the types of players they want.
We'll see what happens. Did you see, I know you saw, Tom, Michael Lev's story this weekend?
Which one?
He needs to win, or he knows he needs to do some things well, obviously, and then kind of supporting the black coaches.
Yes, and I mean that in a way that kind of should go without saying, don't you think?
Yeah. But I guess there's a push recently with a bunch of stories from AP and how African American coaches have been slighted for head coaching jobs. So
especially in the NFL.
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah. And they did the college thing. It was a lot of college. So if you don't do well, you're gone. You're gone. I understand that. Unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. I mean, you need to prove what you can do. Sometimes coaches don't get enough time. I think that was part of the issues with Sumlin. How many years do you give them before you say?
Well, that's what we're talking about that right now. And yeah, I mean, to me, it has nothing to do with race, creed, color, any of that. Mm-hmm. Religion. I don't care.
Just
what's
win,
the
baby.
Football team
just
doing?
Just win. Yeah.
Right.
Just win. Right. Did you see the story?
No. I didn't read it all. No. I read some of it.
You know what, though? I mean, it's unfortunate to say, Steve, but we still live in a world where...
Without question.
To some people, that matters.
Without question. Just look at the world we live in today and in the real world. Non-sports, it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Unfortunate as it is. Let's take a quick break, our last break, here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm with Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats and Mr. Tom Callahan with the music, spinning the DJ music. Thanks for that. I hadn't heard that in a while, Tom. Cool.
Got to keep you happy, Steve.
Thank you very much, because I'd be a little cranky today, aren't I?
you're telling people to get off your lawn, get off your softball diamond, get off your baseball diamond, get off your hardwood.
And I'm not buying a diamond for anybody, too, this Valentine's Day, just so you know.
Fair enough.
Anybody who's listening. Hey, so I was going to ask you, this is kind of be stupid questions to you, Martin. So you've been here 8 years?
Mm-hmm.
Is this your kind of real first job?
Yeah.
So what have you learned in the business?
That's a. I have a lot of things,
And I want you to be kind of truthful as you can be, because you. Well, let's go this way. How would you characterize me and my personality? Because you've been around and you hang around with me. You could be as honest as you'd like. Cranky?
I guess so. I would say more just kind of old school in your way you think about the business.
About the business, right.
I think it means a lot to you, the kind of the fabric of what kind of journalism was founded on.
Right.
And I think that's why you're partly cranky.
Because it's not like that
anymore.
It's
not like that, not at all.
Right. So
that's the battle I have to fight.
Because it's not.
I'm caught in the middle. I can't be cranky Steve.
Right. Well, you're still young, and you have to be a positive. I don't know. Do you have to be positive?
It's almost kind of, and that's the battle. Is sometimes I don't want to be positive, but
right. So kind of like, and I'm not going to say people know that I'm not a sports fan. I just do this for a living, and I love sports, but I just don't. I'm here for the story, not about the win or whatever. But so for you, I was going to think that not that it's a lie, but it's a lie, isn't it?
What?
Like what you have to do, you have to be positive, kind of, have to be. That's a strong statement. But you don't want to be, but you have to be.
I think there's a little bit of that to it, and that's a difficult part to try. That's a difficult thing to try and kind of
You're trying to tell your people who pay, that's your place, the truth, and you do probably behind the scenes, yet trying to keep people happy.
Yeah, and that's the balance, because like I've said, there's been people who think that I hate Sean Miller, and there's other people who say, oh, you love Sean Miller, we're not going to listen to you because you love him so much. And I'm like, I don't have an opinion either way.
It's neither here nor there. Right.
Yeah.
Right. I kind of wanted to ask you, because you see how I am. And mine's kind of a facade, too. You know that.
I think if I could, I would be more like Steve.
Yeah, right. Well, just be more not candid. Not that I'm candid. I'm just very snarky in an old guy way.
But I think a lot of the people that I've come across that kind of came up.
Yes. Mentored you?
Yeah. Yeah. That I've been around are the same way. It's not unique to just you.
Right.
And I think it's because of the way the business has gone and the things that you guys have had to kind of go through. And
yeah, and you grew up in LA with some respected writers and journalists, because they're not one and the same.
Right.
And some guys who I had the same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of sad. It's not that I don't want to be a fan. It's just that some of it's not real.
Yeah, and I think I've talked about it on this show before. I think that was the thing. Once I really started covering recruiting, you kind of get to learn the situations, and you go, oh, this person is not that great of a person. I don't know.
You mean the player?
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Let me tell you, if that's anything, that's the biggest part of it. And then you have to kind of, not that you have to kind of, you write glowing things about them.
Yeah.
Knowing.
Well, and who they are as a person sometimes is irrelevant.
Right.
We're reporting on what they're doing on a basketball court or a football field, not who they are as a person.
But their background is important.
Yeah.
Whether they're good dudes or not good dudes, eventually they get here or somewhere on campus, and he says, how did I miss that he was a jerk? Well, you kind of knew that he was a jerk.
Yeah.
You just didn't say that he was a jerk.
Yeah, and then it's like it'll come back to us one day and be did you know? Well, yeah, I knew, but what am I? I'm supposed to write a story,
right?
A random story that this guy's no good.
Let me kind of go tangential, because I do that anyway. So, were you snookered, if that's the right word, into believing that this class was a good class for Sean? Did you believe this is that class?
In parts. I think the freshmen are who I thought they were going to be.
Okay.
I think other people had different impressions of what they were seeing because of things like YouTube. And all you see is the good parts.
Right.
Go watch a game.
Very
Go watch a high school game. I've been in gyms for 12 hours a day. It's not a lot of good basketball going on.
Right.
When you watch a high school game.
Did Mannion ever miss any YouTube videos?
Not once, I don't think. I don't think they ever showed one missed bucket.
That's the whole thing. You saw him have a fan. And this is no knock on him, because we see it on your board.
No.
But you saw, like, the Williamson kids with Duke and blah, 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 all dunks and craziness and blah, 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 which is fantastic. And Mannion, who can play, I still believe in him. But he's not that guy we saw.
It also puts unreal expectations on someone like
him. Very much so.
He's had a very solid freshman season.
Very much so, yes.
We're in a different time. In any other time, when there's a one and done, when there's... He's a solid freshman player that you're going, he's going to build on this year, and he's going to be a really good player for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of the best players ever at Arizona if he stays all 4 years.
Sure.
He doesn't have that luxury. He's going to be gone.
Okay, so in a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of leaving UVA, we know they're leaving. You know, Zeke is gone, right? Yep. We know that Green is gone.
Yep.
We know that Mannion is gone. Mannion, in his scale of 1 to 10 years that he's had, 1 to 10, ready for the NBA, if you can combine the both. The year he's had and...
Okay, I get it.
And an NBA. I have my number.
A 7?
7. Okay, I 7, same number. Green. 4?
I was going to go 5.
Okay, 4 or 5, which means...
I think the NBA game fits him a lot better than the
college question.
Game. And I think that's the caveat with him is... He's a 5 right now, but he has a chance to be the most successful of the three.
Sure, sure.
He's got what the game looks like.
He's got Richard Jefferson written all over him to me. And like Trier, we knew that Trier was going to be a better NBA player than he was a college player. I still say, and you may know this, Tom, who's the only guy to hold Michael Jordan to 16 points a game in a season? Coach Smith.
Yep.
Because he had to play in the system. I mean, he could have scored 1,000 and you know, and Trier too. Because Trier wanted to.
Yeah.
But he couldn't because
he tried.
And look how messed up that was. And then he had Ayton, of course. And then Zeke, what about his number? I think it was pretty 8 or 9.
No, it's a 9.
Still?
Yeah.
Still holding water
for
that?
I still think so. He's been very impressive. And Sean Miller mentioned it today on the glass. He's been rebounding crazy.
He's a monster on the glass.
To me, the thing that I like about Zeke, and I was trying to figure out a way to ask Sean about this, but he had all of it. Those were all his questions. No, we could have asked no questions. He would have still given us a 25-minute press conference. He just had a lot to say on his own today.
Yeah.
But to me, Zeke, the thing that I like about him is he strikes me as someone that Sean could tell him, hey, I need you to go do this, and he'll just go do it.
Right, right.
I need you to be our high-energy guy today. Okay, coach, I'll go do it. I need you to get a bunch of rebounds. Okay, I'm going to go do it. Mm-hmm. Where I think that's the type of player that Sean Miller wants, and I think any coach would want someone like that who just isn't a problem, isn't an issue, and just goes and does what you want him to do.
Who's had the best season to this point, unexpectedly?
Maybe Jamal Baker?
Really? Okay. He hasn't had a turnover, right? In forever?
In forever.
In forever. You know the guy I really like? I really like, and I've said this to you before, if he was kind of more cool, more controlled, he'd be pretty... Ira Lee. Because he's...
You just described Ira Lee from...
Yeah.
10th grade.
That's the... Right.
He's kind of been who he is. And everyone said, man, once he gets that high energy under control,
he's
going to be a great player. But
no, that makes him who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but he's... in fact, he's shown some offensive moves in the last week or so that we're thinking, this guy's improving a lot. And I've seen some guys like A.J. Bramlett, Channing Frye, some of those projects come eventually to fruition and he's only a junior, but you could tell that he thinks too much. When he dunks, when he walks back and he comes back, he just thinks too much. But to me, he's improved a heck of a lot. He means more to this team than people think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Again, though, someone who just kind of is who he is.
Yeah, right.
And to me, that's the story of the season, is you weren't able to... The players, the way they were playing early on, who they were playing, gave you kind of a false sense of who they were. To me, the middle of the schedule has been kind of who those guys really are. Nico is not having a terrible season in terms of doing other things. Yes, he's taken a lot of shots. He's missed a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's still, outside his last couple games, he's still passing the ball well, getting assists, not turning it over a ton, running a team. I mean, that's a thing that doesn't show up in the YouTube videos. Nobody wants to see a point guard run a team.
Right. Right.
That's boring. But that's something you see in a high school game, even a travel ball game, where you go, okay, that's his value, is he knows how to run a team.
And that's what makes him valuable at the next level.
Right.
Because he doesn't have to score, he just needs to distribute and be that guy.
But if you just see the highlights, you're just expecting someone who's going to be dunking and shooting threes and, you know, going behind the back and doing all these
and
crazy
things. And that's all I saw. I saw a couple games on TV and I'm thinking, well, this guy has that. You can tell he has that gait, he has that presence. And now it's like he's lost.
Ask anybody who saw Josh Green play, and they'll tell you, if you ask them, what was Josh Green's thing that he needed to improve?
Shooting?
Being a consistent three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. That was with the Ira Lee, if he could only control, when people were talking about Ira Lee in 10th grade and said, if he could only control that energy, imagine what he could be. That's the same conversation with Josh Green, where it was, if he could be a consistent three-point shooter, man, what could he be? And that's the same story. We're still seeing that play out right now, and that's still the same conversation.
Because he has all the tools athletically and blah, blah, blah. Well, Richard Jefferson was that guy. He couldn't shoot to save his life in college, but he could jump out of the gym. He could defend. He can do things that you say, wow, every now and again. And Josh does that, but hasn't done that much.
Yeah. I mean, he has so many. The thing about him is he has so many of the other skills and the other talent
sure.
that he's able to do something every game, but if he had that consistent 3-point shot, it would be
wow.
It would be wild type of situation.
So have we seen the last of Chase Jeter?
It feels like it.
I think it's pretty much done.
Yeah. I really kind of talked about him today and said, we're close to getting him back or something.
Yeah, And what else is he going to say?
Maybe healthy. Maybe healthy is maybe the better word than back.
Even if he came back, what is he going to contribute?
They've looked better without him. Right. And that's hard to ignore.
True, because I think that...
Stone Gettys. He's been... Right. Once he figured it out, he was a good replacement and he settled in nicely.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing about it is I think you need more help from Baker... And from
Max,
less help from Dylan Smith. Not that'll fix this team, but it couldn't hurt
and
this team.
And to your point about lineup changes, that was what the question was about. Someone, Bruce asked, are you thinking about switching the lineup with, Dylan not playing very well? And that's when Sean said, well, I think we're there. I think we're at that point.
Right. Well, the numbers would dictate that you
and did. Who else are you going to move out of the lineup?
Sure. No, of course. And we'll see. I mean, this is going to be a difficult weekend because of the style.
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't to this extent where, like the UCLA game or the Baylor game, but Sean Miller was kind of preempting something potentially bad happening this week when they play Cal just because of the style.
Yeah. It goes back to your Baylor and
wasn't that far. It wasn't outright, hey, this is, I think, going to be a problem, but it was kind of teetering on. He's kind of at least letting you know, hey, if we lose, I'm going to tell you why right now.
Well, he's, like I say, he's honest to a fault and kind of previews his sentiments ahead of time. More power to him. I'm sure he's frustrated. That would have been my question. How frustrated are you? And he mentioned he did say frustrated one time.
Yeah.
He gets paid a lot of money to figure this out. Is this very difficult?
Yeah, this is not an easy situation to try and kind of fix and correct in, a month.
And you're running out of time. Especially when you say, well, we have time, we're still young, we blah, blah, blah. You're not young anymore, man.
Those guys are about 3 months away from not being in college anymore.
And then next year you say, well, they're NBA players. We got to go, right, Tom? We got to go. Okay, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Moreno, for coming in.
Absolutely.
Here on 10:30 The Voice. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks.